I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from downtown San Luis Obispo in the Mission Plaza. Right now we're with Wendy Edson, the director of the Slow Film Festival. Hi.
Hi.
I have been so curious about the San Luis Obispo International Film Festival. How did it happen and when did it start and why?
Well, I'm glad you're curious because it really does have a fairly long history and an interesting one. It started back in 1994 as a mainly classic film festival. Like, they did start by showing, I think, two new films, and the rest were all classics like you'd see on Turner Classic Movie Channel. And then about 10 years in, the board at the time decided to change it more like a real film festival, I like to say, but actually more like, you know, most film festivals are, which celebrate new cutting-edge cinema, movies that you haven't seen yet, things that are not, that haven't been released yet. So at that point, I got involved shortly after that, and that was 2005 when I was hired, and at that point we changed the lineup to being mostly new films and a few classic films. So we have continued to do that, and it's just been growing ever since then. I think my first year we screened in that sort of new category, I think about 30 films, and then some great old classics, and now we're up to 75 this year. Wow. New in our, just that's just in our worldwide competition called the George Sidney Independent Film Competition. That's just in that competition. Altogether we have over 100 films and definitely still have a few good old classics.
Does size matter? You have Santa Barbara Film Festival, Pasadena.
Yeah, I have a little bit of a chip on my shoulder because of Santa Barbara. That's a tough one to compete with. And I used to get really, you know, sort of uptight about it because people were always saying, well, look at all the stars that are coming to their festival. Why can't we have that many stars at ours? And there are lots of reasons.
I think part of it is some of them live in the neighborhood.
Yeah, definitely. That is one of the reasons. They moved that festival so that it would be happening right after Oscar nominations come out, which is brilliant. And so from a marketing point of view, their festival is perfectly timed. Their publicists, the celebrities that are nominated, they want them to be at that festival. They want them to be on that red carpet. So I'm not sure that anybody gets paid to be there, but when you have your publicist telling you to be there, that is, you know, obviously a great thing. We have the opposite, as do a lot of smaller film festivals, and that is most publicists are just primed to say no. So, you know, it'd be great, you know, we'd love to have Tom Hanks come, but unless we have some, you know, direct connection to him, which we haven't really had so far, it's basically you get in touch with the publicist and they say, no, thanks anyway. So every year we've been very lucky to have, you know, an amazing person to give the King Vidor Award to.
You really, even in the last couple of years, tell us about some of the personalities that have shown up.
Yeah, we've had a really nice eclectic mix, actually. This year it'll be Josh Brolin, and he's really kind of fun because he not only is a very nice guy, but he also is old enough now, I feel like, that we can honor him. He's had a long career because he started really young, but King Vidor is in the Guinness Book of World Records as having the longest, most prolific career, so you can't really give that to an up-and-comer. That award needs to go to someone with a lengthy career, and Josh really has hit that mark now, so obviously he's still got many years to go. Last year we honored Anne Margaret. She was only the second woman in the history, in the 22-year history, which is embarrassing. Me running the festival, obviously I want to celebrate women as much as I can. It's difficult. That is, the film industry is male heavy. It's just, I'm not heavy, maybe isn't the right word, but some of them are heavy, but there just are more men, for one thing. And so many years I've tried to bring a woman to town to honor, and it just hasn't worked out. Peter Bogdanovich was there for that. Jeff Bridges is hoping to get back here to give the award to Josh. We love to have former award recipients come back and hand the award off, which has happened a number of times now. So,
what do you have that others don't? What, you must have some corner.
I think that we've got a few things. This community really is unique, and I know that. I see it and I hear about it from filmmakers when they come, and they just sense this friendly, I know I hate to say the word happy, but there is a certain, you know, just friendly and upbeatness about our festival. So the area is gorgeous. They love coming here for that, and the wine, of course, never hurts. But just the openness, the highly educated audiences, they get good questions. They don't feel like it's a waste of time to be here. It's also a wonderful place to network. Everyone just sort of feels relaxed, and it really is truly the slow life feeling that I think we exude.
What you're implying is if I came to the festival, I could talk to Josh Brolin, for example, would be approachable. That a lot of these people, they're
absolutely
not hidden back behind in the green room.
No, in fact, sadly, Bill Paxton just passed away, and he had just come up to our festival the year that we did, 2015, we showed Citizen Kane in the Hearst Castle Theater, which was an incredible experience, and he had heard about that the last second. I got a call from his assistant, can Bill Paxton and his wife come? Are there any tickets left? And we had just basically, Peter Bogdanovich had just told us he couldn't come. So I said, yes, I have two seats. So they jumped in their car, zoomed up to Hearst Castle, and were there for that. And then he came to the festival the next night, just hung out. And a number of people have said to me in the last few days, I had the nicest conversation with Bill Paxton. And, you know, so I sort of make sure that we reach out to people that we know are going to be easy to talk to and easy to deal with. We, you know, I really try to avoid the egomaniacs,
yes,
and the ones,
yeah,
that are really going to be high maintenance. And I kind of grew up in the film business, so I just really don't want to I don't think any of us want to deal with that. This is slow, and that's kind of just not our thing. So I think, just to answer the question, we just aren't really all about the glitz and the red carpets and all that stuff. I think I'm going to leave that to Santa Barbara and and do it our way. And I think we have some really unique venues here, too. Like, we're doing something in the Octagon Barn this year, which
what are you going
to
do
which
there?
Which is something, you know, completely unique to our area. We're doing two nights. First night is going to be environmental short films and rural, sort of that whole theme. And then the second night is a barn dance after we show The Unsinkable Molly Brown, which is sort of a nice tribute to Debbie Reynolds. And Todd Fisher, her son, is going to be there with some costumes from the movie.
Wow.
And then we're going to have a barn dance with Molly's Revenge. So,
I love that group.
Yeah, it should be a really fun night.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, we've used Hearst Castle in the past too, which I believe that we are the only festival, at least in North America, that can say they have a castle as a venue.
I love it. Well, let's talk specifically about 2017 and your litany of what you're going to do.
Well, it does seem to get bigger and bigger every year, and I'm not sure exactly how that happens, but I think I'm overdoing it every year. But it's just so much fun to create new events and bring in as many films as we can possibly squeeze in. And this year, we were lucky, we got over 1,000 films submitted to our film competition. And when you have that many films, you end up with more good ones to choose from. So we turned away some really great films. So we've squeezed in 75 films into only, it basically is 5 days, opening night and then 5 days. And so there's some fabulous movies, and that includes short films as well. And we
give us a teaser.
Ah, God, there's so many. Well, we've got a world premiere of a movie about horse trainers. That, and the tickets are selling like crazy. It's called Down the Fence, and we're showing that at the Fremont. And I'm excited about that one because that audience is going to be so unique. Not your typical film festival audience. There are going to be a lot of cowboy hats in the audience. And so I'm excited about that one just for something completely different. We have an Irish surf film. Surf Night is a big deal at our festival. This year, it falls right on St. Patrick's Day. And so we were lucky to get a North American premiere of a new movie called Between Land and Sea, and two of the Irish surfers are coming over for it. Those are two different, completely different types of events, and that's just we have such a range of stuff. Really, it's great.
The breadth of venues, I imagine that the Fremont would be the anchor.
The Fremont is the anchor. It's just a beautiful theater, and we have a tent right behind it. It's our hospitality tent. We started that last year. It's sponsored by the city of San Luis Obispo, and it became a hub for filmmakers, sponsors, journalists, anybody with a press pass. Everyone can sort of meet in there, meet each other. It's a great networking spot, and it gave me a chance to meet people too, which was really nice. So yes, the Fremont's a very important spot, and for opening night, we're actually doing a party that will start in the Fremont and goes out right out the back door and into our tent. The party will be in both places. We have cafe music playing on stage. So having that in the middle of town is fantastic. And then we have the Palm Theater, the Downtown Cinemas, and the Mission Cinemas, which are sort of the defunct theaters that are next to the Fremont. They aren't used right now because they aren't digital. So we bring in digital equipment and bring those back to life for 5-6 days. And then we have the Park Cinemas and Paso Robles for 2 screenings, and the Octagon Barn, as I mentioned. It's fun because, you know, that's what I probably love the most about doing the festival, is that it's got its constants, and then it's got, there's so many different ways to be creative at the same time. So every year is completely different, and that's probably why I'm still doing it. It's my 12th year.
So if somebody wanted to attend the Film Festival this year. They better get online now.
I would say if you can possibly carve out a little time, get a festival pass. And we do have them in different mat, like everybody can afford a pass, really, because the least expensive one is a Movie Fanatic pass. It can be used by two people. So it's $65. It gets two people into three screenings or one person into six. And so you're saving money and also getting in there first, because we don't promise that you're going to get in, but we do say you will get priority seating as long as you're there 15 minutes before. So the pass is definitely worthwhile. And then there's the most expensive one is $300. That gets you into everything except the Octagon Barn events. That's a fundraiser for the Land Conservancy, so we're selling those tickets. But otherwise, the tent is accessible to the Mogul Pass and all the events. So that's definitely worthwhile. You just need to have a little time.
So a little backstory. You have the Slow Film Fest, and you are the director, but you've got to have a staff and volunteers left and right. Tell us about what it takes to put something like this together.
Yeah, it really is an incredible undertaking. I have an amazing assistant, Nancy Ross Joint, and I could not do this without her. This is her sixth year, I think. I'm just hoping she survives. She is such a great worker, and she is the filmmaker liaison, which is a huge job in itself. Plus, she takes care of like a million other things. But she's dealing right now with about 100 people that are coming that all need hotel rooms, that all have specific requirements.
Request, yeah.
And then we also have an administrative coordinator who's part-time but working full-time right now, Alyssa Madron, and she's fantastic too. She picks up all kinds of pieces in every direction. We also have a development director who just started this year, Chris Aho, and he's been helping me enormously with the sponsorship stuff. And then we have a number of people who work just sort of during, temporary, I guess. And one of them is a tech coordinator who's right now collecting all the movies and making sure they all get tested and sent to the right venues and deal with all those problems. And we also bring in another projectionist and several other people to sell tickets. Then there's the volunteers.
I was going to say, I saw a casting call the other day for volunteers.
We have probably about 300 volunteers as well. Some of them will be brand new this year. Some of them are just these wonderful, loyal people that come back year after year, and this is their job that is really crucially important to the festival. Some of them run the venues. Some of them are in our headquarters selling tickets. There's just a whole variety. Some of them are screeners, actually, so they start back in June, and they finish in December. But they're watching movies. Like I told you, we had 1,000 movies. Well, we need a lot of eyeballs on those movies. And so we have to have this sort of trustworthy group of people that watch movies, evaluate them. Good ones sort of float to the top and the bad ones sink to the bottom.
Interesting. Before we go, let's talk a little bit about San Luis Obispo County is an on-location film site. What sort of movies have been filmed here, are being filmed, or people talk about upcoming?
Yes, well, we are a huge proponent of having films shot here, and last year we actually coordinated with the Visit Slow office and did a fam trip for filmmakers to go out around the county and see all the great locations there are, because really it is an amazing county for locations. We have so many things to offer. This year they're doing that again. They're going to organize it right after the festival, though. I told them I don't want them taking our filmmakers away from our festivals. But yes, really, it's amazing, from little fishing towns to sand dunes to ranches and wineries.
Give us some examples, some names of films.
There was a flurry of activity in the early 90s when My Blue Heaven was shot here, Murder by Numbers.
There was Sandra Bullock.
Murder by Numbers. Yeah, I actually worked on it for a couple days.
Yeah.
Little Giants was shot in AG. I actually put together a 5-minute video of clips of all the movies that were shot here, starting with the Ten Commandments back in 1923. Yeah. Oh, by the way, we have a great movie about that too this year called The Lost City of Cecil B. DeMille.
One more thing before we go. Wendy, your background, how did you get involved in film?
Well, I love film. My dad was producing commercials when I was a little kid, so we used to go to his studio, and I would sit and watch anything that was happening. He actually did 3 Muppet specials with Jim Henson back in those days, and I was just in awe. My brothers and sisters were just so bored with the whole thing because it's a million takes, and I was just glued to it. So I kind of knew that was going to be my thing, and I worked as a PA starting when I was 14 on a TV series, and I just loved it. And then later on, after getting a college education, I started assistant directing. That is what set me up to do what I'm doing now. It was a lot of organizing, a lot of details, and a lot of excitement at times. And so I did that until I met my husband, got married, and moved to California and got out of the film business, which doesn't make any sense. I started in Toronto, by the way.
So. Here you are, still in the film business.
I'm on the fringes of it now, yeah. I feel like. I'd love to be back. I'd love to be in production again. I think that was still my favorite aspect of it. But I think the film festival side has been really interesting to me. I mean, when I was working in production, you know, as soon as the film wrapped, you were immediately on to your next job, and you're starting in pre-production again, and you never really even thought about what they were going to do with the movie, and then it, you know, gets edited, and then what? So that's the part I'm dealing with now, is the then what part.
Yes.
And it's really a complicated part, because a lot of people never get their movies out there, or some have great success at film festivals, and that's that. Others don't bother with film festivals, go right to Netflix, you know, so it's really, and it's an ever-changing business. Every year it's different. Every year the formats are different. It's exciting.
For further information,
slowfilmfest.org.
Well, we're going to have to do a reprise visit. Maybe I'll come see you at the film festival.
That'd be great.
We've been speaking with Wendy Edson, the director of the Slow Film Fest. Thanks, Wendy.
Thank you very much, Tom.
You're very welcome. I'm Tom Wilmer reporting.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. Our associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon, and Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.